Hello and welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are tackling what has to be the single most frustrating phenomenon in this entire field. You have the team, you've got the budget, the content strategy is there, you're publishing, the lights are on, but nothing. The needle just isn't moving.
It's the stuck phase, and it is, it's panic-inducing for a lot of teams.
It is. And naturally, when leaders see those flat lines, they start looking for, the magic bullet. They think they missed some secret ranking factor or the SEO team isn't using the right keywords. But you're arguing that in 2025, if your rankings are stuck, it's almost never about a secret.
No, not at all. If you're stuck today, you didn't miss a trick. You probably broke a pipe. Usually one of three sort of invisible operational things has broken at scale, and you can't see it because you're looking at the content, not the plumbing.
That is a terrifying thought, that the plumbing is broken and we're pouring water all over the floor.
That is exactly what's happening. The reality is Google has changed how it can even afford to look at the web. So the issue is usually that, one, Google can't reliably fetch your page because it's too expensive, or two, it can't figure out which version of your AI content is the master version,
Again, the third.
or the page just completely fails the best next click test.
Okay, we are going to tear those three problems apart. But before we get into the weeds, let's officially introduce the show.
Welcome to the Content Ship Podcast. This is a show about how content actually works today, not how it used to work. We talk about search, AI systems, and the operational side of producing content that survives change.
And just a quick note on how we put all this together. This podcast is created by people who care deeply about their craft, working intentionally with AI, not to replace human judgment, but really to extend it. That mindset is exactly why we build ContentShip, to give a single expert inside a company the kind of leverage and structure that, used to require an entire team. So we are dissecting the 2025 SEO operational playbook. We're going to look at why your site might be invisible to the modern algorithm. And I want to flag something for later. We are going to discuss a specific, incredibly boring technical check that, if you ignore it, basically tells Google to just ignore your best work.
It's the silent killer. I see it on probably 40% of the audits I do.
40%. Okay. We will definitely get to that. But let's start with the rules of the road. You mentioned that Google guidelines is kind of a misnomer that gets teams in trouble. Why is that?
Because guidelines sounds like one PDF you read once and you're done. It's actually three distinct operational sources, and they function like, different departments of a government. If you confuse them, you apply the wrong fix to the wrong problem.
So lay them out for us. What are the three departments?
Okay, so first you have Google Search Essentials. This is the building code. It's just physics. If you don't meet these technical baselines like crawlability and indexability, you just don't exist. It doesn't matter how good your writing is.
Physics. You can't argue with gravity.
Correct. Second is spam policies. This is like the penal code. These are the specific do not do this rules like scaled abuse or reputation abuse that trigger penalties or demotions. This is what keeps you out of Google jail.
And the third?
The third is the search quality rater guidelines. And this is the one everyone obsesses over, but it's actually the most abstract. It describes what good looks like to a human. It's the training manual for the people who grade the algorithm. In a world flooded with AI content, this is your best proxy for what quality actually means.
So essentials are the technical physics, spam policies are the law, and the rater guidelines are sort of the taste test.
That's a great way to put it. And most stuck sites, they're trying to solve a physics problem by improving the taste. They're rewriting intros when Googlebot can't even render the page properly.
Let's talk about that physics problem then, pillar one. Be crawlable. Now, I have to play devil's advocate here for a second. To a CMO, crawlable sounds like, 2010 advice. If the site is live and I can load it on my phone, isn't it crawlable? Why are we even talking about this?
Because the web has just become incredibly heavy. In 2010, a page was simple HTML. Today, it's a massive stack of JavaScript. For Google to crawl you, they don't just download the text. They often have to execute or render all the code. And that costs computing power.
So it's actually an economic decision for Google.
100%. Imagine Google has a render budget for your site. Not just time, but actual electricity and processing power. If you are a growing site, and especially if you're using AI to scale, you might have accidentally created a situation where you're feeding Google thousands of low-value URLs that just eat up that budget.
Give me a concrete example. How do I accidentally create thousands of URLs?
Parameter explosions are the classic one. Let's say you run an e-commerce site or a big resource library. You have filters, right? Color, size, material, date.
Yeah, standard stuff. Good user experience.
Great for users, but it can be terrible for bots if it's not managed. If I click blue and then large, that's one URL. If I click large and then blue, that might be a different URL. Then I add cotton, that's another one. Suddenly, you have 50,000 variations of what is basically the same list of products.
And Google is actually trying to render all of them.
It tries. It spends its budget crawling all these empty or repetitive filter pages. And because it spent its allowance there, it doesn't even make it over to your brand new in-depth article that you just published.
So the content team is celebrating a launch, but the bot never even saw it because it was stuck in some blue cotton t-shirt filter loop.
Precisely. We call it crawl waste. And if you force Google to waste its resources on junk, they just stop coming back as often. Your refresh rate on the site drops.
Okay, so crawlability isn't just, can you see me? It's more like, am I worth the energy bill?
Exactly right.
Let's assume we fix the plumbing. We block the parameters. Now we move to outcome two. Be indexable. You've called this the new KPI. But isn't indexation, isn't it binary? You're either in Google or you're not.
It used to feel that way. You'd assume pretty close to 100% indexation. But today, indexability is a ratio, and it is the very first indicator of what I'd call site rot.
A ratio of what to what?
Your valid pages versus your actually indexed pages. If you publish, say, 1,000 pages this year, and only 600 of them are actually in the index, you have a 60% inclusion rate. That missing 40% just sits in your search console as crawled, currently not indexed.
Which has to be the most passive-aggressive status message in all of tech. We saw it, we just didn't feel like filing it.
It's Google basically saying, we know this exists, but our quality threshold says it's not worth the storage space. And this is where the AI conversation gets really, really serious. Because AI is just incredibly good at generating sameness. Let's say you have a team, and they're using a standard prompt to write about project management software. They write 10 articles on slightly different angles.
Right. Best project management tools, tools for small biz, free tools.
Exactly. And because the AI model is the same and the prompt structure is the same, the output is structurally identical. The metaphors are the same. The intro is the same length. Google looks at these 10 pages and just sees them as near duplicates.
So you've created a civil war on your own website.
You have. You're cannibalizing your own performance. Google might pick one winner, or sometimes it picks none, and all the rest get that crawled, not indexed treatment.
So if I'm a leader looking at my dashboard, I shouldn't just be looking at traffic. I need to be looking at my rejection rate from Google.
Yes. Track your time to index and your percentage indexed. And if that percentage is dropping, do not publish more content. You have to stop. You have a quality or a technical conflict that you have to resolve first.
That is a very hard pill to swallow for teams that have publishing quotas. Stop publishing is not usually on the list of quarterly goals.
It has to be. Publishing more unindexed content just dilutes the authority of the content that is actually working.
I just want to pause on that thought for a second. If you are listening to this and realizing that your team is running on a publish and pray model where no one is actually checking if the last batch even got indexed, you might want to subscribe. We break down these operational realities every week. It's not about writing more. It's about making sure the system actually works. Okay, moving on to the third pillar. We're crawled, we're indexed. Now we need to rank. You mentioned the goal is to be rank worthy, which sounds nice, but what does that actually mean in an age of AI answers?
It means shifting from being comprehensive to being specific. The old playbook was the ultimate guide. You'd write 4,000 words trying to cover everything.
The skyscraper technique.
Right. But today, an LLM can generate a summary of everything in 3 seconds. If your page just summarizes known facts, you are redundant. To be rank worthy in 2025, you have to pass the best next click test.
Meaning, why would I click on your page if the AI already gave me a decent summary?
Correct. And the answer to why is usually about constraints and trade-offs.
Can you expand on that?
AI, you know, it hates to take a hard stance. It wants to give you the average of all opinions on the internet. A human expert can say, look, this software is great for enterprise, but if you have a team of 5, it will bankrupt you and the interface is way too complex. Do not buy it.
That's the it depends factor that AI struggles with.
That is value. That is a decision detail. If your content is just here are the features, you lose. If your content is here's why this feature fails in this specific scenario, you win.
And this has to connect to EEAT, right?
Yep.
Experience, expertise, authority, trust. We've heard this acronym for years. It kind of feels like a checkbox now.
Yeah.
Just put a bio at the bottom and you're good.
That's the cargo cult version of SEO. You're building a wooden plane, hoping a real plane will land. Real EAT isn't a bio, it's about information gain.
Information gain. That sounds like a patent term.
It is. It basically asks the question, how much new information does this document add to the existing body of knowledge? If you're just citing Forbes, which cited the New York Times, which cited a study, your information gain is zero. You're just a copy of a copy.
So how do you increase that gain?
You shorten the distance to the root source. You don't just cite the article about the study. You go analyze the PDF of the study itself. You interview the person who did the work. You provide data that doesn't already exist on the other 10 results.
That requires actual journalism or, you know, actual expertise. You can't just prompt your way to that.
You can't. And that's exactly why the RADAR guidelines focus on it so heavily. They are looking for evidence of real effort.
Let's talk about the dark side for a moment. Spam policies. We talked about scaled abuse. There's a lot of fear out there that AI content just equals spam. Is that actually true?
No. Google has been very clear. They don't care if a human or a machine wrote it. They care about why it was written. Scaled abuse is when you spin up, say, 500 pages of low-value repetitive content just to capture long-tail keywords.
So it's the intent, not the tool.
Exactly. But the trap is that AI makes scaled abuse incredibly easy and cheap. You can accidentally commit spam.
Accidental spam would be a great band name, but it's a terrible business strategy.
It really is. And this is where governance comes in. You need a layer of software, like what we do at ContentShip, that basically acts as the editor and needs to check. Is this draft 90% similar to something we published last month?
So you need a robot to police the robot.
You do. If you remove the human bottleneck of writing, you absolutely have to replace it with a machine bottleneck of quality assurance. If you don't, you'll drift into spam territory and Google will nuke the whole site.
Okay, I want to circle back to the teaser from the intro, the boring technical check. You said this is killing 40% of sites. What is the silent killer?
It's the canonical tag, specifically when it comes to what I call shadow duplicates.
Shadow duplicates. That sounds ominous. Break that down for me.
Modern content management systems, WordPress, Shopify, you name it, they often create multiple pathways to the exact same content. So you'll have site.com forward blog article, but you might also have site.com category marketing article. And maybe even site.com/SciC article.
So three different URLs, but all for one piece of content.
Right. To a user, it all looks the same. But to Google, those are three separate pages fighting for the same ranking. The canonical tag is supposed to be one line of code that says, hey, Google, ignore those other two. This one is the master.
And people just forget this tag.
Or they set it up wrong. They make the tag self-referencing on every single version. So every version claims to be the master. Google looks at that and just says, well, you're confusing me, so I'm going to trust none of you.
It's a total confidence collapse.
Exactly. And it's invisible to most people. The page looks fine. The text is great. But in the search results, you're nowhere because your authority is split three ways.
So the action here is go check your canonicals. Make sure there is only one master for every piece of intent.
One intent equals one URL. If you have three pages targeting best running shoes, you have to merge them or kill two of them.
Brutal, but necessary.
It's the only way to scale with any clarity.
While we're on these technical checks, Core Web Vitals, speed. Mm-hmm. I feel like leaders get obsessed with getting that perfect 100-100 score on page speed insights. Is that worth all the engineering hours?
No. Please, everyone, stop chasing the 100. It is a vanity metric.
The developers listening right now are going to love you for saying that.
It's true, though. It's a pass-fail system. You just need to be good. That means your largest contentful paint, or LCP, is under 2.5 seconds. If you're at 2.4 seconds, you are green. Getting it down to 1.5 seconds yields almost zero SEO benefit.
Major diminishing returns.
Massive diminishing returns. Once you are in the green, take those engineering hours and put them into your structured data or fixing those canonicals we just talked about.
Okay, so we've covered the philosophy, the physics, and the plumbing. How do we actually operationalize this? If I'm ahead of content, what do I change tomorrow morning?
It has to start with the brief. The brief is your first quality gate. Most briefs are way too vague. Write about X.
Yeah, give me 800 words on cloud computing.
And that just guarantees generic content. A compliant brief for 2025 has to force intent alignment before any writing starts. It needs to ask, what is the new angle here? What is the specific constraint or trade-off we are going to discuss?
You solve the sameness problem before you even generate the first draft.
Yes. And then at the very end of the process, you need a pre-published checklist.
This is the final gate. What's on the list?
Four things, really. One, orphan check. Does this page have any internal links pointing to it, or is it just an island? Two, duplicate check. Is it too similar to something we already have?
Okay.
3, the answer test. Does it answer the user's core question on the first screen, or are we burying the lead? And 4, source verification. Did we link to a primary source, or did we just make a claim out of thin air?
And if the answer is no to any of those, the publish button should be disabled.
It has to be. That discipline is the only thing that protects your indexability ratio over time.
It's so interesting. We started this conversation talking about algorithms and crawl budgets, but the solution is actually just really tight human governance.
That's the great irony of the AI age, isn't it? The easier it is to create content, the harder you have to work to govern it. The winners in 2025 aren't the ones with the fastest AI writers. They are the ones with the strictest editors and the best operations.
Operations that make sure Google isn't wasting money crawling your filters. Operations that track indexing as a hard metric, not just a wish.
And operations that ensure you are offering something that an AI summary simply cannot.
Which brings us to the final thought.
Right.
You have a test you recommend for this, the sameness test.
Yes. This is something you can do right now. Pull up your best performing article. Now open ChatGPT or Perplexity and ask it the same question that your article answered.
Okay, got it.
Now, mentally strip all the branding off your site. Put the text from your site and the text from the AI side by side. And be honest, if you were a user, would you care which one you read?
That is a very harsh mirror to look into.
It is. But if the answer is, you know, they're basically the same, then you are in trouble because the chat interface is faster and it's cleaner. If you don't offer a specific voice or a specific data point or a specific human experience that the model didn't have, you're a commodity and commodities get replaced.
Commodities get replaced. That is the reality check I think we all need to hear.
It's better to know now than to find out when the traffic drops to zero.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to verify your own operations, if you want to stop that indexation drift and enforce those quality gates we talked about, visit www.contentship.io. We help you build that governance layer so you can scale safely without turning into a commodity.
Sleep better at night knowing the plumbing actually works.
That is the goal. Thanks for listening to this deep dive. We'll see you next time.